You might have heard earlier this week when we talked about the 50th birthday of the Wilderness Act. It was in 1964 that the legislation became law and created a mechanism for setting aside lands valuable as wilderness, lands to be left alone by humans. The group Oregon Wild observes the anniversary with the resumption of the Oregon Wilderness Conference this weekend in Portland. And there were other ways in mind for observing the Wilderness Act anniversary. So let's talk about the act and the celebrations. We have two guests from Oregon Wild. Marielle Cowden is the Outreach and Membership Coordinator. Welcome, Marielle.
Thank you.
And Chandra Legue is the Western Oregon Field Coordinator. Chandra, welcome to you.
Hi.
And I'm pronouncing your name correctly, I hope.
Pretty close.
why don't you give me the real one?
Chandra Legue.
Chandra Legue. Okay, I want to make sure we get this right as we go through.
Thanks.
All right, so let's talk then about the significance of the 50th anniversary of the Wilderness Act. Chandra, I would think that you'd probably spend a fair amount of time trying to get new wilderness areas created.
Yeah, that's definitely something that I and many of my colleagues work on. For example, I'm based in Eugene, and one of the areas closest to me is the Devil's Staircase proposed wilderness out in the Coast Range, and I've visited there many times, and some of our colleagues have taken Representative DeFazio, Congress, and Senator Merkley, and even some of Senator Wyden's staff into that area so that they can appreciate it. And that that wilderness area has come a long way. It's been introduced in Congress a couple times over the last few years, but has still yet to be officially protected. So there's plenty of work to do, and it takes a lot of time.
I was going to ask if the time has changed over the years. I mean, obviously, wilderness is a fairly significant designation, but it doesn't seem like it ever used to sail through Congress. But has it gotten even slower given the overall workings of Congress?
It seems to. I do think that if you look back at the history of passing wilderness protections, they historically have taken a lot of time. From the initial concept of protecting a place like French Peak Creek and the Three Sisters Wilderness, there was a group of citizens in the 60s working hard to add that area as a protected area, and it took until the late 70s to get it passed. So it does take a lot of time, but yes, Congress these days seems to act slowly, especially when it comes to passing environmental protections. Unfortunately, it just seems to be a bit of a deadlock, and so we have to work extra hard.
So, Marielle Cowden, for you as the person who is doing so much of the outreach and discussions with members at Oregon Wild, how big does wilderness loom in importance to the people who either are in Oregon Wild now or you're trying to attract to Oregon Wild?
Oh, it's very important. A lot of our members, whether or not they actually get out to see those wilderness areas, they make it very known to us that they are in Oregon. They've moved to Oregon, or their family has lived in Oregon for generations because of the public lands, because of the protected areas. And so, at Oregon Wild, we obviously all feel the same. And so we're excited to have programs available for our members and supporters to connect to their wilderness areas. Oregon has 48, since the Wilderness Act was enacted 50 years ago, we have 48 designated permanently protected wilderness areas in Oregon. Now, some of those aren't able to be visited by people. There are Oregon islands off the coast that are bird sanctuaries. But for the most part, we have a lot of different areas that people can connect to, whether it's in their backyard all across the state or, all the way across the state you have to drive a long way to get to. So it's programs like our 50 Hikes Challenge that we have, our outdoor program where we lead guided hikes all year round. It's really to connect people to those places. And, people who know wilderness love it. And as such, they have it in their power to protect more. So it's connecting people to those wild places and seeing what's at stake and seeing, what makes Oregon so special and why we live here.
So for the folks who don't know wilderness then, what goes on there? It sounds like pretty much nothing. There's just no tinkering. And are these areas that generally have never been touched by extractive industry, or are some of them places that might have been cut over once and then just left alone?
I'll let Chandra field that a little bit. Some of the areas have definitely remained pristine. Chandra mentioned the Devil's Staircase proposed wilderness, and in that area, a lot of it because of its really unique landscape. It's got very, very steep terrain, and mm-hmm. It's kind of inaccessible, has remained largely untouched. And as a result, it's an incredible place. It feels like a lost world when you go in there. The trees are enormous beyond belief, and it's just absolutely stunning. Chandra and I were actually there leading a hike just this last Saturday, so it's really an incredible place.
Yeah, as far as the variety of wilderness areas and how untouched they are, I mean, the point is that they are untouched areas, that they've never been logged, there hasn't been roads built into them. And we have a lot of that in Oregon, although as anyone who has lived in Oregon for more than 5 days knows, there's a lot of areas that have been logged and roads built through. So the places that are left are all the more important. But there are, it is possible for there to be parts of a designated wilderness area that have been managed in the past, but that have been allowed to, you know, nature has been allowed to take over so that the natural recovery processes are ongoing, and so that, you know, in 100 years, nearly no one would be able to tell that there had ever been any logging or a road there. So the point is to, at the very least, recover those areas, and they're just small sections of existing wildernesses that have those sort of incursions.
We're talking to Chandra Legui and Marielle Cowden from Oregon Wild about wilderness in Oregon. We're talking about in the context of the 50th birthday of the Wilderness Act, which went into effect in 1964 and allows the set-asides of lands as wilderness, of which you heard there are 48 of them in Oregon. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about the wilderness in concept generally and the observation of the birthday and some of the celebrations that will be going on to mark that birthday. Join us with your thoughts and comments at 800-838-3760 anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782 by email jx@jeffnet.org. So there are 48 actual wilderness areas in Oregon, and you said some of them people can't actually go to?
Yes, the Oregon Islands and Three Arch Rocks Wilderness, I believe it's called, are bird sanctuaries off the Oregon coast. So you can kind of observe them from a distance, but they're there to be habitat for endangered species and other wildlife.
All right, so nobody's allowed to land a boat on them, anything like that?
Correct.
All right, which raises the question that came up the other day because somebody called and said, what good is the wilderness area if nobody actually goes to it? I mean, we're basically setting up a playground for people who are really into backcountry camping and nothing else. I'm sure you get that question a lot, Marielle.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, wilderness, in addition to the amazing recreation opportunities it allows for, you know, otherwise except for places like the Oregon Islands, but for the vast majority of wilderness areas, in addition to incredible recreation, the intrinsic values of wilderness are just unmatched, and people who love wilderness know that very well. But in addition to that, you know, wilderness provides for an incredible quality of life for all Oregonians. It helps to provide clean air and clean drinking water for Oregonians. And two-thirds of Oregonians get their drinking water from surface sources, and those get filtered by, you know, the old growth trees that are in those protected areas. And, you know, that's also another reason that Oregon has such great beer. The microbrew industry, you know, sources water from these wild places, and if they're protected, then that water remains pristine, and we have an incredible amount of great beer in Oregon as a result. So everyone is affected by wilderness one way or another, and whether or not you get out there to explore it and have the chance to see how amazing it is, you know, is one thing, but everyone is impacted. And if you value the quality of life here in Oregon, you really value wilderness.
Chandra Legui, you talked about the Devil's Staircase. You both talked about Devil's Staircase a bit. Let's talk about what makes a wilderness area a wilderness area. Does there need to be a central feature, a big, impressive waterfall or a large grove of trees? Or, I mean, does it have to necessarily have one major central attraction?
No, it definitely does not, although it helps to you know, attract people there, attract support for protecting the area. But in general, it just needs to be a place that has remained wild and will remain wild for forever. So there are wilderness areas in Oregon that, you know, some might argue aren't very different from the surrounding national forest lands that they're on. They just happen to have a line drawn around them and have some spectacular trails. Many of our wilderness areas do have an attraction because, again, it's what drew people to want to protect them. You know, I'm thinking of the Mount Jefferson Wilderness or the Three Sisters Wilderness or Steens Mountain. But there's many spectacular places like, Bull of the Woods Wilderness or Opal Creek, which does have spectacular trees and waterfalls and streams, but you could argue that most watersheds in Oregon, you can find those places. So, you know, they're all special to the people who love them. But, yeah, they don't need to have any particular defining feature.
I'm glad you mentioned that there are parts of the forest where lines have been drawn around them, because I did have a question about how carefully the lines are drawn. I mean, do they try to find ridgetops, watershed boundaries, anything like that? Or in some cases, are they pretty much straight lines, like the creation of Afghanistan or something?
It really depends. There's a straight line wilderness in the Southern Cascades, the Mountain Lakes Wilderness, just near Upper Klamath Lake. But I actually don't know the particulars of how those lines were drawn. But most follow geographical features or are just defining the area that has remained wild. So you can't, if you don't want to have roads and clear cuts in your wilderness area, you have to draw your line around those. And that's kind of what we're left with these days, because there have been so many areas impacted from logging practices that the wilderness areas really have to be drawn carefully to include only the pristine places, and there's not many left.
Let us take some calls. We have Ann and Eugene on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking wilderness with the folks from Oregon Wild, Chandra Legui and Marielle Cowden.
Yes, thank you. In the early 80s, I helped get wilderness for Waldo area and also Rainbow Falls. And my question is, how come Oregon has so little wilderness areas compared to California, Washington, even Idaho? Is this because of the power of the logging industry? Thank you.
Thanks for the question, Ann. Appreciate that. Marielle or Chandra? Chandra?
That's an excellent question, and we definitely see that we have a wilderness deficit here in Oregon. We only have about 4% of the state protected, compared to much higher numbers in California and Idaho, as Ann mentioned. And one might argue that part of that is because of the power of the logging industry. Part of it is also other politics. Wilderness depends on an act of Congress, and if we have political leaders in Congress that are champions of wilderness, then we'll likely have more protected. And we've had those champions throughout history, which is why we have the wilderness we do.
But should also be pointed out, Oregon also has only one official true national park, a couple of national monuments, sure, but a national park, one, Crater Lake.
Yeah.
California and Washington certainly have several.
Well, there's multiple answers to this question, and you know, I think our the challenge before us is to correct that deficit, and urge our political leaders to do a better job of protecting larger areas, important areas across the state that deserve this wilderness protection, and make up for some of that. Really, live up to the standard that Oregonians expect, that our state is green and beautiful and we protect the places we love. If that means sort of trying to counter the logging industry or politicians who don't support wilderness protection, then we have to step up and do it.
Let's take another call. Here's Derek in Talent. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking wilderness with Chandra Legui and Marielle Cowden from Oregon Wild.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. A couple comments, if you don't mind. I'm very pro-wilderness. I love the bumper sticker, wilderness, a great place to hunt and fish. But I wanted to address a couple things. One, none of the existing wilderness is truly untrammeled by man, so I don't have a problem drawing large circles on the map or on the ground where logging or road building has occurred and calling it wilderness. That's not a problem. And I also think that we need to be very careful with our language around water quality. A comment you made about the water quality and beer brewing. The water that comes out of Reeder Reservoir, part of which is in proposed wilderness.
This is Ashland's Reservoir, yeah.
The Ashland Reservoir is actually dirtied before it is cleaned in order to prove a state standard for improvement. And we're adding stuff to the water before it becomes part of the municipal water supply. So it's a bit of a stretch. It's either hyperbolic or disingenuous to talk about water quality and beer making, in my opinion. And I think it's a real stretch. And I think when people hear that stuff, they roll their eyes. I know I did. But I just wanted to leave you with those two thoughts.
All right. Appreciate that, Derek. And Mariella, that comes back to you. You're the one who made the comment about water quality.
Oh, sure. Yes. And I understand what Derek's saying. It's true that most of us, we don't turn on our taps, and that water isn't coming, you know, directly from the streams, obviously. But it is true that, you know, 2/3 of Oregonians get their drinking water from surface sources, and most of our tap water originates on federal lands, which are primarily national forests. And it is true that intact forests are natural reservoirs. They absorb, they store, they filter, they gradually release water to forest streams. And when you do logging and road building in forest watersheds, it degrades their natural hydrology. So, you know, it's a level of degree there. You know, water that once percolated slowly through stable soils runs off more quickly, carrying with it soil and other sediments. So it's a matter of protecting it as much as we can, you know, keeping that water clean to the extent and not just letting it get degraded so that we can do our best to try to fix it. So.
All right. One of the advantages of having two discussions of wilderness this week is that the email that came in too late for the last one can be used for this one. It's from Barbara in Grants Pass, and she writes, like the Wilderness Act, the Kalmiopsis Wilderness turns 50 this year, too. It was one of the original congressionally designated wilderness areas, but the job is unfinished. There's a great opportunity right here in a remote corner of southwest Oregon for protecting some of the last best wild rivers on the west coast. There's more unprotected high-quality wilderness land surrounding the 179,000-acre Kalmiopsis Wilderness than congressionally protected wilderness. It's the largest unprotected wildland remaining on the west coast between the Olympics and Baja. It's remote, rugged, legendary for its rare plants, and home to some of the most beautiful free-flowing salmon and steelhead rivers in Oregon, and there's very little land suitable for logging. In the unprotected wilderness, there's 5 nationally outstanding unprotected streams that the U.S. Forest Service found eligible to become National Wild and Scenic Rivers 2 decades ago. They're still unprotected, and 2, Rough and Ready Creek and Bald Face Creek, are threatened by nickel strip mine proposals. That, again, from Barbara in Grants Pass, putting a case on for the expansion of the Kalmiopsis Wilderness. Chandra Legui, is it something you're working on?
Yeah, it's one of the areas that Oregon Wild is working in a coalition with a variety of other groups on, including Klamath Siskiyou Wildland Center based down there in Ashland, and other groups. So it's most certainly a very special place, and I mean it's everything Barbara said is true. It's again one of those examples of a place that we need to work hard to convince our elected officials to move forward with protecting.
It is interesting, though, to look at perspective, though, because one of the first stories I worked on as a professional reporter was about the expansion of the Sipsey Wilderness proposed in Alabama from 12,000 acres to 48,000. Then I arrived in Oregon, and there's the Kalmiopsis, which is, you know, many times that size. So even though 4% of Oregon's land base is in wilderness, that's still a lot of land base to start from, isn't it? Chandra?
Yeah, it is. It is a lot of land base. But, if you look at the map at our national forest lands and the protected areas on it, you see a lot of spaces that aren't protected. So about half of Oregon is public land, and with only 4% of the total land area protected, it's a large land area, but still so many special places to protect.
All right, Mariella Cowden, I think you mentioned this briefly in passing, but let's go a little further into the details of the 50 Hikes Challenge that Oregon Wild presents to celebrate the 50 years of the Wilderness Act.
Absolutely, yes. We're very excited to be starting this year as a celebration of 50 years of the Wilderness Act. And, you know, Oregon Wild, as I mentioned, has been leading hikes all year round, all across the state for years. But this year, with so much to celebrate, it's Oregon Wild's 40th anniversary and the 50th anniversary of the Wilderness Act. So we're turning it up to 11, if you will. With the 50 Hikes Challenge, we're pairing that with what we usually do, which is lead guided hikes all across the state. But this offers supporters and people who love wilderness to get out there, to know their wilderness, to understand, you know, not just what's in their backyards, but what's all across the state. Like I said, there are so many wilderness areas in Oregon, and Oregon is a fantastic place in so many respects, but part of it is because it's such a diverse landscape. You can go anywhere in the state and no wilderness area is like another, and it's really incredible that way. So this is just a really great opportunity for people to get out there and explore, and for people who like wilderness, like so many Oregonians, they're the best folks to help protect it. And so this is why we're saying wilderness is you. If you go out, you explore your wilderness, you become part of that legacy that's been building over the last 50 years, and then you become part of creating and building upon that legacy for the next 50 years. So, you know, we're reaching peak hiking season this year, right about now, and so the 50 Hikes Challenge, we have a list of 50 Oregon wilderness areas, and like I said, there are under 50 that are permanently protected as wilderness now, but, you know, Chandra was touching upon some of those wilderness proposals. Oregon Wild has a proposal to protect 500,000 acres in and around Crater Lake National Park to preserve that Oregon icon, and so areas like that are included in the challenge. So you have 50 areas either permanently protected now or we're working to protect that you can explore and then see what really makes Oregon great.
All right. Are you giving people until October to do the 50 hikes? And then is there some incentive here for them?
Absolutely. If they become an Oregon Wild member and join the challenge, if they do 10 hikes in 10 different wilderness areas, they'll be able to get a clean canteen. If they do 25 hikes, they get a Columbia backpack. And if they reach all 50 wilderness areas, then they'll get a free pair of Keen shoes, which I think at that point they might need a new pair of shoes.
That's 50 hikes, no doubt. All right, we'll make sure that we link from our Facebook page directly to the 50 Hikes Challenge at Oregon Wild. I want to thank Marielle Cowden and Chandra Legui for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks so much for having me.
You bet. Okay, so Wilderness Week again in Oregon. The Wilderness Conference takes place in Portland starting tomorrow. Oregon Wild has resumed it after a 10-year hiatus. And that'll do it for this hour of the Jefferson Exchange. Thanks for listening. Hour number two coming up.